hey, Kyle, hey, Lincoln, doesn't matter because you know why? In fucking Winchester, they shoot a ghost and kill it. They shoot a fucking ghost and kill it, Kyle, with a rifle. With a Winchester rifle, they kill a ghost.
Is this how we're starting?
They kill a fucking ghost with a rifle.
Are we actually recording right now?
We saw a lot of movies.
More.
I saw fucking Winchester, and I'm talking about it right now. Spoilers start now. They shoot a fucking ghost, Kyle. They shoot a fucking ghost in the chest. This is not a drill. There's ghost death.
I'm gonna beat myself. Is Zach Baggins in it?
All right, let me tell you about Winchester. Let me tell you about Winchester, Kyle. I wanted to turn this piece of shit off.
My glasses have steamed up from crying.
I wanted to turn this piece of shit off 20 minutes in.
Well, I know
five minutes in.
You called me at 34 minute mark.
I called you at the 34 minute mark, telling you this is the most embarrassing fucking movie I've ever seen, which still stands because it doesn't get better.
Did you think it would be good?
No, but I didn't think it was going to be like...
That being said, it's one we were both really sad that we missed.
Oh my God, Kyle. This movie is the biggest piece of shit I've had to sit through in a long time. I'm trying to think of a movie that's worse than this.
Slender Man.
Yeah. All right. So here's Winchester. Winchester's about the Winchester House, which is interesting, right?
It's really cool.
Too bad it's not in this movie because it's fucking lame and boring. All the acting sucks. There's a side plot of where the main character is like an opium addict. Yeah, that stops at 20 minutes because they take his opium away and he's like, whew, think I'm getting withdrawals. And they're like, oh, crazy ghost. And he's like, and then never comes back.
All right.
So then there's fucking stupid, spooky ghost things that happen, but they're super lame because this whole movie is just leading up to characters walking slowly to like a cabinet and then the cabinet going,
is that what it
sounded
like?
This is a fucking movie. Like this is what it is. All right. For our listeners at home, I have a Mountain Dew Kickstart with energizing fruit punch and naturally artificially flavored sparkling juice beverage from Concentrate.
We're not sponsored.
We're sponsored by
Mountain Dew. We're not sponsored by Mountain Dew.
5% juice. So it's sitting here, okay? This is what the movie is. Constantly it's like, Kyle,
if you knock that fucking thing over.
Kyle, look at that Kickstart. Oh, my hand's going closer to it. Kyle. Oh, there's nothing in it. Oh, that was crazy.
Why did you just violently masturbate for 2 seconds? That seemed out of place.
There's also a Matrix fight scene at the end, too.
Ooh.
So the end of the movie.
I'm on board now.
So, okay. I don't really know much about like the Winchester House. Of the ghost stories behind it.
That's how she kept the ghost away, was by constantly building.
All right.
That's the story behind the Winchester House.
Okay, so in the movie, it's like she is building the rooms because it's ghosts that have been involved in a violent death via a Winchester rifle. So she builds the room so
that that's always how she felt.
So the rooms, like the spirits live in the room.
Okay.
And then they seal it off with 13 nails because that's the divine nail number.
She just wanted to confuse them.
No, this is like she's trying to help them go to the afterlife.
Oh, no. She was trying to keep herself safe.
No, that's not how it is in this movie.
I mean, she was safe anyways because ghosts ain't fucking real.
Kyle.
You watch Demon House and then tell me ghosts are fucking real.
So she's doing that, and then the main character, which is the one guy that's in every dumb fucking horror movie.
Miles Teller?
Whatever.
No, he's just a dumb guy.
I don't know
what
he's fucking... He's like in every shitty fucking movie.
That doesn't narrow it down.
It's the guy.
Okay.
I don't know who he is. If you saw him, you'd be like, oh yeah, I can remember like a million Blumhouse pieces of shit that this guy's been in. So he goes there because I don't even know what's... I was so... For the first, like, 20 minutes of this movie, I'm sure there's probably plot things that happen. I could not get over how fucking shitty this movie looks. It's the most this-was-filmed-in-a-soundstage movie I've ever seen. The lighting was terrible. Everything just sucked. Everything sucks.
So you're saying the Haunting of Hill House is better?
Is that the Netflix one?
Yeah, I haven't watched it. I haven't either.
I love the book, though.
We got too many movies to watch, so I haven't watched it yet.
I ain't got fucking time to watch that shit.
You know what I'm not... So, you know what I'm not excited about and don't give a fuck about coming to Netflix, though? Stranger Things Season 3. I just don't care.
I haven't finished Season 2.
I just don't care.
I was going to finish it.
I have never had a show that started so hot for me that I just don't give a fuck about anymore. I think it's every year we get 8 hours of entertainment. It's just, I'm over it.
No,
I don't care.
You love it.
It's not bad. I just, it's Star Wars level of excitement for me now.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't care. I feel the hype is not there this season.
Well, I think with Stranger Things, it's because...
It's out now, right? Season 3?
No. It just got done filming.
No.
It's not out now.
It should be out soon.
It is not out now. Okay. It's going to be next year when it comes out.
Oh, then who... No, I don't think that's true.
No, it's true. I read it.
Oh, then no one will give a fuck.
Yeah, because they're basically... It's like a year break, essentially.
That's more than a year break.
Because they... Yeah, yeah, that is... Yeah, because it would have been a year if it came out in October.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to come out this next year.
Well, nobody cares. Okay.
I think the problem with Stranger Things was that the first season was so great and such a cohesive story that I feel like the second season was just too fast.
I thought the second season was good. They just had set the bar so high.
Mm-hmm.
Like for themselves, it's not a problem. Because the second season's good. I think the performances are good.
Yeah.
Now I just don't care. I don't want a season 3.
I'm too bad. It's coming.
I know,
but
I probably...
like season 7...
I probably won't watch it.
Fucking works. Well, I also, I just thought that the story was so cohesive. I don't know. I didn't really think that they needed to follow the kids again for a second season.
I more wish it would have been more of an anthology show, like American Horror Story.
Yeah, that's what I wanted it to be, of where like the characters in
it. You can even keep it in the same town. Just follow different people.
Yeah, different people and different things.
Maybe there's crossover and it'd be whatever.
Nope. Gotta get that money.
I hope season 4, they just advertise it on everything that it's Will's final season.
Oh, God.
Like fucking Walking Dead. Mm. Why don't you just take all the suspense out of the fucking Rick Grimes dies this season? Not that I give a fuck anymore.
But Kyle, spoilers for Walking Dead, he doesn't die, but you think he does.
Well, because they don't do that every fucking year with a character. I gave up on Walking Dead a long fucking time ago.
I think most people did.
It's so boring.
Let me tell you about fucking boring with Winchester. So I'm sure, like I said, I missed a lot of fucking plot things.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's a horror movie. You shouldn't need it.
Because the main character, I guess he works for Winchester?
Okay.
I think? Because he's going there. He's like a doctor, I think?
Why would a doctor work for Winchester?
I don't know.
They make guns.
So he goes there because they're...
Is it for gun polio?
They're trying to see if she is of sound mind and body to continue.
No, the answer is no.
Winchester, because of like the house and everything. So he goes because he's like observing to see if she's crazy, and like the people underneath her want her gone, so because they just don't want to fucking deal with her being crazy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sent there essentially to just be like, yeah, this bitch crazy. And then bounce. So he goes there.
So he's Jonathan Harker role here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And so he goes, and then spooky stuff happens. And then she's like, this is why I have the house, because of the ghosts and stuff.
Is the main ghost the old lady in Insidious? Because that's what the cover reminds me of.
No, that's her. That's
oh.
That's the Winchester lady.
It looks like a ghost.
No. They just make it look really old and weird.
Okay.
So he goes there, and there's this, like, side plot of where his wife dies. Like, she's been dead. But they don't explain why she's dead. But
she stopped living. That's how most people end up dead.
He carries a fucking... All right, this is the most ridiculous part of this movie. He carries around a bullet that says, like, forever after something.
So he shot her?
No.
Oh.
There's a part there. Okay. With Winchester, there are exactly two parts in the movie that I kind of liked. One of them was like a recreation of how she died, because he walks into a room that the Winchester late. I don't even know what her name is. Jane Winchester?
Lady Winchester.
Whatever. Lady Winchester made a room that is the room where his wife died that he walks into.
Convenient. Okay.
Because his wife
haunts the house.
And in that room, it's a recreation of what happened which is like his wife was like schizophrenic or something.
Why would a ghost want that?
And so he
would that help you move on? A room that recreates your death.
Yeah, well, that's what the whole thing is. All the ghosts, like the rooms that they want are where they like died.
Well, who the fuck?
So he goes in there, and then it's like a recreation of it, of where she shot him because she was going to shoot herself. But then he like lunged at her to knock the gun out, and then she accidentally shot him. And then he's laying on the ground. She's like, I just killed my husband. And then she shoots herself. But he didn't die. Because a big thing, a big plot point is that he was dead for 3 minutes, but then he was brought back to life.
Oh, God. Did they Bruce Willis him?
So.
Does he partially haunt the house?
No.
Is that why he's drawn to the house?
No. It's well, his yes.
Ghost instincts.
Yes, kind of. Because he, like, he has, like, a spiritual attachment to the house because he technically was killed by a Winchester, but he's alive, and that's how he can see the ghosts in the Winchester house.
He wasn't this fucking...
So...
At least they try to explain it away.
Because he's the only person that can see the ghosts, which is why he shoots one.
Why didn't they put on the 13 ghost glasses? All right. Get back to this shooting the ghost thing.
Okay.
Is that a ghost bullet?
Well, this is why this... It's important.
It was the bullet.
It's the bullet that he...
Does he shoot his wife's ghost?
No.
Okay.
He reconstructs the bullet that like killed him into a new bullet.
You don't...
That he carries... I know. That he carries with him as a reminder of like his past and where he's at now. So, they...
You watched your wife shoot herself. Do you need a reminder of that?
So then, okay.
Like you have a brain. You have memories.
So the ghost that's the super evil ghost.
Okay.
That's like the most evil, evil ghost ever is some random fucking Confederate soldier that his brothers died. And he's like, man, Winchester's the worst because they killed my brothers. Fucking Winchester. So then he dies in a firefight. And then they recreate the room. And then apparently he has the power to create, like, the earthquake. He's the reason why the earthquake happened.
Did you just go through puberty? You all right? Did our little baby just grow up right before my eyes?
I'm here, guys. I did it.
It's about fucking time.
And he... So, there's also a plot of, like, the kid. There's this little kid that he...
Kid ghost?
He gets like possessed by this ghost where all it is his eyes turn white and he's just like, I see you. And then all of a sudden it goes away and they're like, oh, what's going on, little Billy? And he's like, I don't know where I am. The Confederate soldier like puts like a sack over his head.
Of course, yeah.
And like goes in and kills everybody. So the big climax of the movie is where the ghost is in the fucking room. And like I said, our main character is the only person that can see this ghost. And the ghost has a sack on his head. And he makes all these fucking Winchester rifles levitate. It just looks like a shitty Matrix thing. So all these rifles are like levitating and they're gonna like shoot. And then like Lady Winchester is like there's like a montage of things that she said of where like things that bring death have great significance in the afterlife, stuff like
Does
that.
Does she say sometimes dead is better?
No. That would have been great. So then he's like, oh, I know what I must do. I must load the bullet that killed me into this rifle, and then it will kill the ghost. So he puts it in the rifle and shoots the fucking ghost, and it dies.
But it's already dead. It's a ghost.
He shot a ghost and killed it. That's the end of the movie.
That kind of sounds amazing.
This movie was such a fucking hot pile of dog shit. I cannot even believe... I feel embarrassed for everyone involved. I feel embarrassed for the company that put it out.
We almost started our year with this movie.
I can't even like believe this fucking movie. It is a lesson in incompetence.
I wonder
for
what
everything.
Horror movie comes out next January. I'm excited.
Fucking Jesus. This was... They kill a ghost. They shoot a ghost with a rifle. That's all I gotta say.
So what do you want to give Winchester?
Fucking a zero. This piece... It should have been a Lifetime movie if they're gonna put it out. It's fucking terrible.
Is it like sci-fi original bad? Or
yes!
Okay.
It's fucking terrible. Especially because like there's CG. It looks like a fucking Red Dead Revolver cutscene.
Red Dead Revolver was good.
Yeah, it's
for its time.
Yeah, and then the movies are like, oh my god, you're so cool. And he's like, oh, Winchester, you're so cool. And they're like, oh, you're so cool. And he leaves.
Okay.
And that's like the end of the movie. Oh, yeah. And then you have to, the most cliche line in the fucking world is at the end of the movie where it's like, oh, like she's looking at the house and it's all like in ruins. And he's like, well, what are you going to do now? And guess what she says? All right. He looks to her and goes, well, what are you going to do now? What is her response? Think of the most cliched thing you could possibly say.
I don't know.
Well, rebuild, of course.
Oh, God.
Hit credits. Oh, then there's a scene where the room that they sealed the super crazy ghost in, which he's like, he's such a lame fucking loser of a ghost, but he's supposed to be like the most powerful fucking thing in the world. And he fucking knocks the nails off the door, which means he's going to come back for Winchester 2!
Oh, I'm excited. You'll have to watch Winchester 2.
Like, I can't, there's okay. So much to it. Like,
if you had to choose, would you watch this again?
Uh-huh.
Or Bad Ben again?
Bad Ben.
Alone.
Easy. Bad Ben. 100%.
All right.
Like, 100%.
Okay. Because we have, like, 5 more Bad Ben movies to get through.
Because the thing with Winchester is, it's not only is the plot terrible and the characters are terrible.
And the plot was what we were looking forward to. The Winchester house is cool.
But just, like, on a technical level, the movie looks like shit. It's lit like shit. It's shot like complete shit. Because there's so many like scenes that shit's just out of focus. And the editing is fucking god-awful. Especially because, and I texted you when it was happening, there's this scene where they're outside and a character that has already talked has a different voice because they have to dub it. A literal, just completely different voice. That's like a kind of main character.
You couldn't even get the actor to do a line.
Yeah. It was obviously somebody like trying to imitate his voice. And it's like a 5-minute fucking dubbed audio thing.
What was the movie? Or Overlord had some of that. Yeah.
And then there's also a scene where he and Lady Winchester are in a room talking. And it's like fucking watching a foreign movie. Like that's how bad the dubbing is.
That's great.
On all levels, this is just a ghost shit. A ghost shat this out and fucking just threw it out there.
Are you done talking about
Winchester? That's fucking Winchester.
Are you done talking about fucking
Winchester?
I'm
done fucking talking about Winchester.
Can I talk about a goddamn movie?
Yes.
Because we got a lot more to get through.
Had to get that out. I mean, that was cathartic.
So, I watched Bad Times at the El Royale with Mr. Art DeFuente.
What was that movie even about?
What do you think it's about?
Well, I never saw anything about it.
Oh, you didn't see the trailer?
I didn't see the trailer. I didn't see anything.
It's a black comedy. Comedy's loose, but it's like a dark Four Rooms.
Okay.
So it's about the El Royale Hotel, which sits on the state line of Nevada and California. So half the hotel's in Nevada, the other half's in California. And it's just four random people. There's like a girl, there's a salesman, there's a priest, and there's somebody else.
Did you watch this movie, Kyle?
Yeah. Who the
hell? Did you black out?
I gotta talk about 5 fucking movies. Who the hell's the other person? There's another person. But their stories kind of intertwine.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Hemsworth's in it. He plays a bad guy, which I think kind of fails. It's just crazy stories that, like, the priest isn't a priest. He was a bank robber. His buddy had buried the money in the floor of one of the hotel rooms. That's why he went. There's a black girl. She's a singer. She's the other one. She's there because she's trying to make it big. The girl is there because she kidnapped her sister to save her from a cult. The salesman's really an FBI guy. Who's investigating the hotel because, like, every room has windows, like, one-way glass.
Because
it used to be monitored in, like, the Nixon era and stuff.
What's the time period this is in?
I don't know. They don't really say. It's not modern, but they don't really
say. It's like 90s?
No, it's like 60s or 70s.
Oh, okay.
So it's just how their stories intertwine, which is fine. Until the singer and the priest, quote-unquote, they get the money and they're leaving. And then Chris Hemsworth shows up, the cult leader. And then it drags on for another 20 minutes.
So is he the cult leader of the girl?
The girl.
Okay.
Who is the best actress in it. I think the cult girl steals the show. She's really good. Because the FBI barges in because he sees through the window that this girl has this other girl tied to a fucking chair. But it's her sister that's trying to save her because she's been brainwashed.
Mm-hmm.
I think the movie, it takes a turn when he comes in and I didn't really enjoy it as much then.
Mm-hmm.
For one, I like Chris Hemsworth. He wasn't convincing as a bad guy cult leader. I really feel like he watched Fight Club and 12 Monkeys and was trying to be Brad Pitt.
Hmm.
Like, enough to where I was like, Brad Pitt would have been better in this role. Because, well, it's Brad fucking Pitt. As much as I like Chris Hemsworth, he's not at the acting chops of that. So it just kind of drug on, and like, people die. Hemsworth ends up dying, but it's just, it's not as good towards the end.
Tapers off.
It just, I wish it would have ended before he showed up.
Mm.
I wish they would have cut his character out. It would have, because there was a lot of craziness and good character stuff. It could have been great if it ended with those two getting the money and leaving and going their separate ways. And just move on. I felt the stories were wrapped up enough at that point that they didn't need Jimmy Lee or whatever his name was.
Jimmy Lee?
It was something Lee. I don't, it's a lot of movies. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Watch this in the theater. I did really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't like the end that much. I thought it was well shot. It's fucking stacked. It's really well acted. Really well acted.
Is this the one that people were like comparing it to, like, Tarantino
kind of It style? Has a Tarantino vibe.
Does it have a okay.
Well, I mentioned Four Rooms,
mm-hmm.
which one of those is Tarantino. Not in dialogue. The dialogue's far more believable mm-hmm. than Tarantino. The story and the characters and the... They flesh him out without doing much. That's right. And it gives you twists. Like, you still think he's a priest and he's talking to the singer and they're having a good time. And then all of a sudden it shows him drugging her drink and you're like, what the fuck? And then she just clubs him with a bottle and knocks him out. You're like, what the fuck is going on? So it does a lot of like slow play on the, but then at the end it just turns into a cult leader's trying to kill him. They're tied in chairs and he's yapping and he's going to kill him and torture him.
So it's kind of like A Cure for Wellness where it just like jumps the shark. Into a
it doesn't really jump
movie.
The shark. It just doesn't work. I just don't think that.
Or better analogy, Cloverfield Lane, when it turns into a completely fucking different movie.
That's more outrageous than this.
Is it? Okay.
This, if it's the tone, I just didn't like it. No. I didn't need it. It'd be like if, I'll talk about it later, like in Bohemian Rhapsody, at the beginning of the third act, Freddie Mercury died and the movie still went on for 20 more minutes about the other band members.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? Like, you don't, like, the movie ended here.
Yeah.
This was a good ending spot. Spoiler, that doesn't happen at Bohemian Rhapsody. I did like Bohemian, or Bad Times at El Royale. Mm-hmm. I just wish they would have trimmed the fat.
What are you going to give it?
I just give it an average, like, 6.
Okay.
6.2. Just because of that. They could have cut 20 minutes off this movie, and I would have really fucking liked it. I mean, there's a good chance it still will make my top 10, because 2018 has been fucking pure shit.
I don't know, though, Kyle, because the movie I'm going to talk about is one of the best of the year.
Yeah, but you have, like, 2 that you've said that. That's it. We do a top 10. You have to fill in the rest, Lincoln.
I have to look at the list, because I thought that I've seen, like, 3...
3 out of 10. It's November.
I've seen...
I just... Ooh, shit, that's probably come out in December.
Oof.
It's the end of the year. It's the end of the year, Lincoln. I won't even say which year. That gives me a lot of blame. So you're going to talk about Hereditary?
I am going to talk about Hereditary.
Okay.
Hereditary is fucking incredible.
I've heard nothing but great things.
I was
waiting to watch it because I wanted to watch it with Lincoln, but he went and fucking watched it without me.
So. Kyle, I'll watch it again because it's so good.
We got other shit to watch. I'll watch it next year. I do want to see it, but I'm like, we have a lot to go through still this year.
The easiest
way... I watched 3 movies last night.
Oh,
back to back.
Just fucking... Well, I would have if my fucking internet wasn't out.
I was up till 5. Why do you need internet?
Thanks, Comcast, so I can stream it from Amazon when I rent my movies.
Just go to the video store.
They were closed.
Like, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What am I going to do with a closed video store?
Break in.
Yeah, I'm going to be the person that breaks into a video
store.
You can
go to Walmart and buy the movies?
Yeah, because I definitely want to buy Winchester.
Christmas is coming.
So I saw Hereditary. It is, crazily enough, the director's first fucking movie.
Is it A24?
It is A24.
Of course.
Yeah.
I can't blow them enough. I mean, really.
It is like Stanley Kubrick made Rosemary's Baby.
I want to see that. You described it to me that way on the phone. Yeah. I want to see Kubrick.
It's fucking incredible. It has all the performances are amazing. The sound is amazing. The feel of the movie, and just, it's one of those where it's a throwback of where it's just fucking uneasy the entire movie. Like, it's a heavy movie. You know those movies that you watch and you're just like, woof.
Yeah.
Woof, woof.
We just got to take a break for a little bit afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just heavy. It's dark. It's just this sinister vibe going through it the entire movie. Everything about it just starts to, like, as the movie progresses, it's like a slow build where everything's just like slowly coming to the top. You're slowly kind of making revelations. It's one of those movies that has, like, not necessarily twists, but there, I'm not going to spoil anything for this movie, by the way, because there's like super big.
I won't remember if you do.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, one, you will remember.
I have old man brain.
I know, but I don't want you to remember this very specific. There's a very specific part that if you've seen Hereditary, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a very specific part that is one of the fucking most realistic, took my breath away kind of things that happens that changes tonally the movie into just spiraling darkness.
Okay.
And it just keeps going and going and going. And it is intense. It's genuinely fucking terrifying. And I can't praise it enough. It's fucking incredible.
Did you just go from 0 to a 10?
I did.
Back to back.
I 100% did. Because this is easily a 10. It's one of the best horror movies I've seen in the last 10 years. I like fucking, like, Babadook. You know how I said, like, Babadook I think is, like, this decade's best, like, horror movie? I don't know, man.
That's good.
Hereditary, woo!
Babadook is still really fucking good.
Yeah, I love that movie. It also, it reminds me a lot of kind of like The Witch on that.
The
where
Blavitch?
It's just, it just steadily is creepy, and there's nothing, like, super crazy. There's no, like, jump scares or anything like that.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's not, like, a thing. It focuses more on things in the background, things happening where you see it out of the corner of your eye, but it doesn't necessarily go to it. There's a scene where a creepy thing is happening in the very top left of the frame, but it does not in any way, shape, or form draw attention to the creepy thing that's happening. Fucking just great performances. The main actress is phenomenal.
Phenomenal?
Phenomenal.
Is that fun and phenomenal?
Phenomenal.
Okay. Fucking phenomenal? What are you trying to say here?
And the plot of it is just interesting enough because it really just, the beginning of the movie just throws you into it. It just throws you the fuck into what's happening. There's not too much of an explanation, and you slowly learn about the characters as it goes on. One thing for Hereditary, if you are thinking about watching it, this is one of the rare times that A24 dropped the ball on something. Big thing happens in the fucking trailer that happens in the movie.
They don't make the trailers, though, do they?
Do they not make the trailers?
Most companies don't actually make the trailers. That's why the trailers a lot of times have footage not in the movies.
Uh-huh. There is a part that is very tense that has a surprise thing happen, and it's in the trailer, and it really sucks because the scene is very long and the tension...
But you know it's coming.
Yeah, like, you know that something's going to happen, but what happens in this scene is completely different from what they believe is going to happen, and that's in the trailer, and that really sucks, because it just takes the tension out if you already knew of what happens in that scene. And then the end of it is just fucking crazy, and it's amazing, and I loved it.
Alright.
I loved it. It was absolutely fantastic. I love this movie. I can't recommend it enough. It is exactly like, also The Wicker Man. It reminds me of The Wicker Man a lot.
Which one?
Not the remake. The God, original, yeah.
Ugh.
Original Wicker Man in terms of what the movie's about and just the feel of it. And kind of like Exorcism of just that impending doom throughout the
Exorcism.
Entire thing.
What movie's that?
I meant The Exorcist. I don't know why. Well, because there was something I was going to... I was gonna say that one of the characters, it reminds me of a character in The Exorcism of Emily Rose as well.
Boy, I talk about a movie that swerves you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an exorcism. Nah, just kidding. Ah, it's a court film.
Yeah, I like that movie.
I do too, but I took a second viewing because the first time I was like, what the fuck? This is not what I fucking wanted to watch a goddamn exorcism movie, and that's only not even the first full act.
No.
It's all in the fucking courtroom.
Yeah.
Not what I was looking for when I first watched. I like Jennifer Carpenter, though. Is that her name? The girl from Dexter?
Yeah.
I like her.
There's also these really great, like, clever camera angles one of which that I really like. I literally, it's one of the only times I rewound something to see it again, because I watched this with Lily, and
Lily sucks.
This is true.
We don't like Lily.
She is the worst.
Literally the worst. Yeah.
Because I think she didn't notice it, and then I had to like rewind it.
Because she dumb, dude.
There's this part where the main kid, his name's Peter, and he's in the class, like a classroom, and he's kind of like zoning out. And it calls back to a scene where he's in the car and he's looking in the rearview mirror. And so it's like him in the classroom, he's looking forward, and then he like looks up, and it, like you're seeing like first person, and in the classroom there's a rearview mirror and he's looking behind it, and then like somebody calls him and then the mirror like goes away. It's just like, it was really cool. It was a cool scene. It was clever. The whole movie's just super clever with how that they filmed it, because it's filmed where I know the movie, because I looked at the trivia, it's like there's no like walls, because it was all in like a soundstage.
Mm-hmm.
And so when characters move through the rooms, it's just a long shot of them going through.
Okay.
They don't really do that much anymore. That's why it was very Kubricky. It's amazing.
All right.
It's fucking, it is incredible.
Well, you were talking about Anya Taylor-Joy.
Mm-hmm.
So I also saw Thoroughbreds, which I've been wanting to see for a long time. I thought the plot was intriguing. I really like her as an actress. Olivia Cooke, not so much, but she was great in this.
What has she been in?
She's most known for Bates Motel.
Oh, the main? Okay.
But she was in Ready Player One.
She was great in Conjuring.
Ready Player One is the last thing I saw her in.
She's in that?
Yeah, she's Artemis.
Are we talking about the same character?
Olivia Cooke?
The mom in fucking Bates Motel? No, this is a okay.
Kid. So she's young.
That's what I was confused about.
No, she's not a mom. She's a kid. I was like... So, Thoroughbreds, it's hard to explain, but it starts with this girl just staring at a horse. And that's Olivia Cooke's character. Her name's Amanda. Find out later she has no emotions, which makes her like really dry and funny in a way. Like, it's very dark. This is a very darkish movie. It does take a turn towards the end that I didn't see coming. I will spoil that.
Mm-hmm.
I love this movie. But she murdered the fucking horse.
Okay.
She goes into details about how she murdered this horse, because it was dying, so she put it down.
Mm-hmm.
She like stabbed it in the neck, it didn't work, so then she had to like cut away until she got to the spine, and then she stomped it. So she goes to her friend Lily's house, ironically enough, which is Anya Taylor-Joy, is like in a ritzy neighborhood.
Yeah.
She's got a piece of shit stepdad. She hates him. And they're tutoring, get to know each other, and they come up with the thing to kill him. They want to kill the stepdad.
Okay.
These two girls are like, we're going to fucking kill him. So they go to this drug dealer, Hitman, which is, he looks familiar. I don't know, though. Looks like somebody that might have, like, been in a spaceship and, like, got ran over. But he's in this movie. He's really fucking good, by the way. This is the last time I get to piss Mercedes off when she's listening by making an Anton joke. But he's in it. He's really good. He doesn't show up. Like, he doesn't show up to kill the guy.
Yeah.
So then they get a plan. They're like, I'm just going to fucking stab him. Lily, she's like, I'm just going to stab him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking about it. And there's a lot of such good, not character development, but like a bond
mm-hmm.
between the two girls. I loved it. And there's a lot of long shots in the movie, which I loved. The part, this is a big fucking spoiler. The rest I told you, it's in the trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the plot of the movie. You'll get it.
Yeah.
They're just sitting on the couch, the two girls, and they're just drinking, like, juice or whatever. And Lily just looks at him. She goes, don't drink any more of that. I put Rohypnol in it. Don't drink any
what?
More. Rohypnol. Rohypnol.
Rohypnol?
She roofied her friend.
Oh, okay.
And like, she's so dry the whole movie, and I love it. And she's like, why'd you do that? She goes, well, I was going to knock you out, and I was going to go stab him, and I was going to put the knife in your hands and blame you. Best friends, by the way, at this point. Like, they're close friends, but they're not close. Because of the whole horse thing, the girl kind of went crazy. Mm. And she's like, yeah. She's like, that's fucked up. She downs the fucking drink. And you're like, what the fuck? Okay. And you're like, well, she's not going to go through with it, right? So it's a shot. It sticks on the character Amanda. She's passed out on the couch. As the girl walks into the kitchen in the background, goes upstairs. You hear a thud. I'm like, she didn't. She comes down covered in fucking blood. I was like, she's not going to do it. Nope. She smears the blood on her friend and puts the knife in her hand. And then it cuts to like later and Amanda's in fucking a psychiatric ward. She's in jail. And it came from basically she's saying and convinced Amanda that her life is meaningless. Well, if you have no emotion, why do you care about your own life?
Uh-huh.
She's like, you're right. My life's meaningless. So fuck it. I can take the blame. I don't give a shit. Uh-huh. I have no fear or worries or guilt.
Huh.
I just sat there with like my mouth. I'm like, it's rare to see a movie actually do what they say they're going to do. Because mm-hmm. these back and forth of plans and they never go through with them. And then the one that you're like, there's no way she's going to frame her friend. Absolutely fucking does. And the friend's okay with it. I mean, she downed the stuff. She wanted her to do it.
She's like, okay.
So she does kill the stepdad.
Okay.
I didn't love this movie,
mm-hmm.
but I'm close. I'm really close to loving this movie. I feel like I wanted more.
Yeah.
Like that ending, just it's like it happens and then maybe I need to watch it again because I was like, what? And then like the epilogue goes and then it's over and I'm like, what the fuck?
That's the only thing with endings like that where you're like, oh, I'm so taken aback that...
And then it just ends. And yeah. I'm like, shit. Well, it faded out when she did that. I'm like, no.
Mm-hmm.
No. Which I thought would have been even better. But the performances were great. I loved the camera work in this. It's not... It's weird because color isn't a big issue in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the color. Like, it was bright but muted. Mm-hmm. But everything is white. There's a lot of white. It's hard to explain. You could even watch it and still go, I don't know what you mean. But for me, it was really cool. There's just such a contrast, and there's so many layers to the girls that they just give you the piece. Like the horse, they do describe what she did. But you get that she killed a horse. You get that Lily is kind of evil because she lied about a lot of things to her friend. You get that like there's something going on in there. The one that's the least evil is the one that's like has no feelings, no emotions. But at the end, when she's in jail, she does crack a smile. But you don't know if it's real. But where the dark humor comes out, like, she teaches her how to fake cry. She goes, you remember when we were little and my dad died and you were holding me and you're crying? Were you doing the technique? She goes, yeah, it's pretty good, wasn't it? And then it just cuts to the next scene. I loved Olivia Cooke in this. I love Anya Taylor-Joy and everything. I
even like her. You're gonna love her in fucking New Mutants?
Probably. She's gonna kill it.
Hey, actually, well, she's been magic, which that's, like, the best choice
was
for
she
that
not,
character.
She was totally unneeded in Split, but I thought she was great.
Yeah.
I just think she's a really good actress. I want to see more of Olivia Cooke now. Ready Player One left a weird taste in my mouth, but I thought she stole the show in this to me. I really fucking like this movie. I would go like an 8.5. It's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
If you've listened to podcasts enough and you know, it's my type of movie.
Yeah.
It's absolutely my type of movie.
Killing.
It's a coming of age story, but it's with murder.
Yep.
Really. So I enjoyed the hell out of it. Hey, really quick. I want to bring up the music in Thoroughbreds because it's fucking fantastic. It's hard to explain, but it sounds like something would be in Kubrick.
Mm.
It's just the most unique sound, and it adds so much to the movie.
Well, I also didn't talk about in Hereditary. There's like no score.
Oh,
it's one of those where the score happens, and that's also kind of like Kubrick of where it's just in very integral plot points where there's a score. And towards the end and there's also like, you know, in like 2001 where there's like the whirring noise, it's a lot of that going on during
the scene. There's the thing, it's a rowing machine, an ergometer that plays a part in Thoroughbreds. And you just hear this slow, like,
more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just really love the sound design of that movie. I just really like that movie.
So, another movie that I'm going to... Well, it's technically two movies I'm going to talk about, but one I can't really talk about because it doesn't... Technically, it didn't come out this year, but I watched it because I watched the sequel to it. It is a Korean movie.
I want to hear you say this. You're going to butcher it.
I'm not going to actually say the Korean name. I'm not very good with Korean. The English for it is called Along with the Gods. Okay. And the sequel was called Along with the Gods, The Two Worlds. The original Korean translation to it is technically Together with God. It's this Korean series that's based off of like a webcomic.
Okay.
And it's about these three like gods of death that are... the first movie is about like a firefighter dies in this like valiant way. And it's them guiding him like through the afterlife. And the second movie is a second plot with the same characters in the same kind of setting. And I watched it because it sounded really cool because it just like reminded me of like Death Note, essentially. Kind of like that. It's really great. It's a great movie. Don't have too much to say about it, but they're really good, and I would recommend them. It's like a supernatural Korean drama.
Okay.
And it's one of the better of the kind of Korean dramas that I've seen in the last couple years. And the fight scenes are really cool in it.
Are you sure this is the right movie?
Yeah. It's the right movie. I made sure. Okay. This one came out this year.
I'm just saying. You've done this in the past.
No, this one's cool because it's one of the highest grossing. Like it was like one of the highest grossing Korean films like ever that came out.
Second to Skyscraper?
That's a Chinese movie, Kyle. Yeah, I loved it. I give the first one 7, the second one like 7.5. I like the second one a little bit better.
Damn.
It was good.
Fucking nerd.
They're good. So if you are looking for Korean movies that are cool, then you should check those out.
Well, I mentioned it earlier. I did watch Bohemian Rhapsody, which it goes without saying, but if you don't like Queen, you won't like this movie.
Hence why I didn't watch it.
Yeah, it is where it strives is the live performance recreations. I think the plot in between leaves a lot to be desired. It feels kind of empty. It doesn't really add a lot to it, personally, because the performances are where it shines. And they're really fucking good. Like, it ends with their Live Aid performance. Mm-hmm. They recreated it. Everything.
So they didn't do what they originally were going to do, where he dies and then, like, the rest of the movie is the band?
No.
Okay, yeah. So that doesn't... Okay.
He doesn't die in the movie. They do chronologically move stuff around. Like, but so there's a movie, so it ends on a happy note. But the Live Aid performance at the end, by the end, I felt like I was watching Queen on stage. He was great. Rami Malek was amazing in the role. I didn't realize until afterwards, seeing interviews with him, that he actually sang in a lot of the performances. Yeah. You can't tell. I didn't know. I immediately came home and watched their Live Aid performance, the real one.
Mm-hmm.
And like all the mannerisms, they recreated so much. There was so much attention to detail in this movie and the performances. I just feel like the plot in between just didn't add anything.
So with it is, because I meant to ask with like Straight Outta Compton, where they kind of just gloss over some stuff. Do they do that in this with like drugs, sex, rock and roll stuff?
They don't gloss. It's mentioned, but it's not a big thing.
Okay.
Like somebody walks in and they talk about how many people he's been with. There's cocaine all over the place. Mm-hmm. But it's not a big character arc in it. You know, things that they do is like, and the movie Queen reunites just for Live Aid. Well, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
They were on tour already. They had already reunited. Freddie Mercury split up the band because he was the first one to do a solo album. Again, not true. He was not the first one. But it makes for a better movie. So I get it. I thought the performances were great. So by the end, especially when you get into short hair Mercury, I just felt like I was watching Freddie Mercury. You could tell it was a passion project for the actor and for the director and for the people involved.
Well, here's the real question.
Much like Straight Outta Compton, it was produced by Brian May.
Oh, okay.
So there is the negatives in this.
Okay.
But not all of them, obviously.
Well, because that was the thing, because that was really, you know, thinking back on Straight Outta Compton, that's kind of the biggest flaw with that movie is how much of the negative stuff was completely glossed over, which is important because the thing with Straight Outta Compton was, you need to understand how shitty these people were and how that they redeemed themselves later in life. And
they're just great people. He's not a great person in this. And that's good. It seemed very true to the things we've heard, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I really fucking enjoyed the movie. I do think it deserves a praise. He should get nominated for an award. You'd say what you want about Franco as Wiseau. This was a better performance than somebody else.
Was that this year?
No, but yeah, I'm talking about like biopics. So,
I'm blacking out.
Well, just basically biopics that we've seen.
But do you think, so because Sacha Baron Cohen was originally.
He was originally.
Yeah. Do you think.
I think they made the right decision.
Do you? Okay.
Rami, he's fantastic. He's absolutely fantastic in this role. And I said, by the end, if you're into it, when it gets to Live Aid, you forget you're watching a movie. But we had a packed theater. And the people behind us were like tapping the seat with their foot and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was like we were just watching a concert film at that point. Like people were getting into the music in our theater. So suddenly, with the final crescendo of the movie, our audience wasn't watching a movie anymore. Mm-hmm. We were watching Queen on stage at Live Aid. And I think that's like, it was cool. It was annoying that they kept kicking my fucking seat. But I was like, I can't be mad. Like, the movie's working. The what they're trying to do is working, and these people are really into it. And so it was an awesome experience. I highly recommend this movie if you're a Queen fan. If you're not, you're not going to get anything out of this.
That is why I did not watch it.
There's nothing in it for you.
I've always been very lukewarm with Queen. I like two albums that they did, but I've never been like the biggest Queen.
See, overall, I really like Queen.
I watched another movie.
I didn't score Queen.
Oh, what's your score?
I'm going to give it an 8.2. I actually could have done with more live performances mm-hmm. and less dialogue. They were that good.
I saw The Nutcracker.
Did you?
No, I didn't see Nutcracker.
Why? I was so mad at you for a minute.
No, okay.
By
so,
the way, yes. When we went to watch Bohemian Rhapsody, mm-hmm. we had to wait in line like 20 minutes to get our ticket. Thought everyone was going to see Bohemian Rhapsody.
Wasn't it? Yeah, they were seeing Nutcracker, right?
Nutcracker sold out at our theater.
Yeah, fuck
so
that.
I'm pretty sure the only people in America that watched the Nutcracker were in our town. Because nobody watched that fucking movie.
No, I did not
like, see we were worried that we weren't going to get in to see Bohemian mm-hmm. Rhapsody. Because I'm like, well, what else is there? Of course this is the big
such,
movie.
Yeah, it's such a weird...
It was, no, and I asked when I got our tickets, they go, everybody's here for the Nutcracker. I was like, what? Okay.
Heard it's complete dog shit.
I'm sure it is. I don't care about the Nutcracker.
Which Winchester, I should have known that it was going to be the worst movie ever because that was the one that, like, I think it has like a 1% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Something, yeah.
No, I saw fucking, what's that movie called? I saw Christian Bale.
Hostiles.
I saw Hostiles. I liked it. It was very good because, all right. I don't know. Have we talked about how fucking into like Wild West shit I am? I don't know if we ever talked
about it.
You're
into everything.
I'm into everything,
what
but like
aren't you into?
But for some reason, like historical stuff, that it just sounds weird. But I've always been super into like the West, and I have like a bunch of books on it. And Red Dead's the greatest game of all time.
So have you watched Hateful Eight yet?
I have not watched Hateful Eight yet because I like realistic shit. That's like the one genre where I'm like, well, they didn't have that carbine repeater in 1912.
I think Hateful Eight would be good. We should watch it sometime.
In 1909, that train wasn't.
How'd you
there.
Feel about Django Unchained?
I liked it.
I mean, so
I know,
you're
but that's
sure.
like I know. Well, I think if it's like a Western movie that doesn't take itself super seriously and it's fucking like off the walls crazy like Django. I'm totally fine. I'm like, whatever. Nothing is fucking historically accurate, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, if they do it right, it could be fun. Yeah. I mean, Magnificent Seven. Mm-hmm. I don't think it wasn't great. The greatest movie, but man, we enjoyed the hell out of that movie.
Hostile suffers from plot inconsistencies and overall just kind of being a drag at some points. I thought Christian Bale was fine. I don't think it's like his best performance ever. It's kind of like one of his... hit or miss kind of movies where sometimes
he's
you're
got
like,
a
oh,
lot
yeah.
more misses, I think. He takes a lot of chances in acting,
yeah.
So I can't fault him for that.
I thought it was fine. I'm gonna give it a 6. Then I just watched Dances with Wolves again.
Are you gonna watch the Netflix movie? I forget what it's called. The Western anthology, the Coen Brothers movie.
I'm excited for that. I think it's gonna be really good.
It's Coen Brothers. Yeah. Come on.
Nope. Now watch Dances with Wolves. Kyle, Dances with Wolves is the best movie ever.
You're a fucking idiot.
With Wolves is so fucking good.
If by so fucking good, you mean boring as fuck,
it's
then I'll
so
agree with
good.
You.
Everything, it's like all historically accurate. All the fucking things are in it. Historically, oh, I love Dances with Wolves.
So I watched Bloodfest. It's Rooster Teeth's new movie.
Yeah.
Has a good premise, I think. It's like Cabin in the Woods meets Jurassic Park. I'll let that sink in for a minute.
Okay.
So basically, it's a big like horror convention, right? Overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But it's you go into a gate, you're locked in. It's a compound. But it has different worlds throughout there, which are different horror movies.
Okay.
They're not real horror movies, mm-hmm. obviously, because they didn't want to license them. Like, one of them is the Arborist. He's one of the main characters. This is the guy that played the Arborist. So you go through these different worlds, and you can live out your stuff. But it's real. They're really killing people.
Okay.
They rush right into that. People are really dying. I think they should have slow played it more
because
it would have been good. Like at the opening ceremony, they call two people up on stage and they slit their throats. And they're like, that's awesome. He goes, oh, by the way, it's real. And everybody starts dying. And you have to follow the rules of the horror movie to survive. Right.
Okay.
But they're all controlled. Like there's zombies in it. And immediately I was like, zombies aren't fucking real. They wouldn't be real in this. They put electrodes in, and people are controlling them like a video game. They got game testers in to control the zombies, so they thought they were playing a game. It fails in a lot of ways. Like
it sounds so fucking lame. I'm sorry.
It is. It is. It's not good. I was like, the premise could be interesting. Could be. If it was made by the people that made fucking Zombieland.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people that knew what they were doing better. I like Rooster Teeth's online stuff. I do. I don't like their movies that much because I think they're the best parts of this movie, much like Laser Team, were, oh, hey, it's Jeff. Oh, look, it's a Gavin cameo. Oh, it's just, it's like, hey, I know those people from the YouTubes.
Mm-hmm.
The movie just fails. For one, the look of the film, you can say it's made by people that do online video. It was too crisp.
Yeah.
Everything was way too crisp. It didn't feel right. The plot was really dumb. I mean, it goes off the fucking rails. It's too easy. And, like, you think it could be better, like, where it gets, like, Cabin in the Woodsy, is they're all being controlled, these things. They're monitored by a tower.
Yeah.
They break out of their enclosure. So when they get to Clown Town, which is all the killer clowns,
oh,
the zombies
boy.
Invade and the zombies kill the clowns.
Oh, my God.
So it's like,
so
all
original.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Well, it needed more stuff. Or, like, they build up this universe of the Arborist.
Mm-hmm.
This horror franchise is the biggest one. But the guy dies and they don't do a lot with it. They have Torture Town, which is Saw. Like, do more with that stuff, though. Or spend the money to license the actual properties.
That probably pissed me off even more, though.
Or do the time to actually understand horror movies before you talk about the way horror movies end. There's two ways, or there's three ways. One of them is the way they end here, happily ever after. One of them is, like, no survivors, like The Thing.
Okay.
Well, as far as we know in the movie, two people fucking survive.
Yeah, yeah.
And what was the other one? Or a single survivor. What was the movie they mentioned, though?
Probably Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
No, because it had more than one survivor.
In,
I don't remember.
In Chainsaw?
No, in the movie they mentioned.
I was like, what are you talking about?
In the movie they mentioned where there's only a single survivor, there's two fucking survivors in it. Get Out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, his friend wasn't there, but he's alive at the end.
Yeah.
And he was the main character.
And they go away together.
So I had a lot of problems with that. Where the plot, at the beginning of the movie, this guy breaks into, he's a little kid, breaks into his house, kills his fucking mom. In the end, his dad is all against horror because horror caused it, right?
Okay.
His dad's behind the fucking blood fest.
Fucking lame.
The wristbands for The Thing can make him turn into, like, Dawn of the Dead zombies. And there's too much name dropping and
so
shit in it.
Lame. This, like, is so lame.
Like, they're talking about zombies and he goes, they're slow, so they're not boils. I was like, fuck off. Just fuck off. I didn't enjoy the movie at all. I fucking hated this movie.
I think it's because of my general distaste for, like, soup, like, tongue, like, movies that the whole plot is just, tongue in cheek.
I didn't like Cabin in the Woods for the same reason. I know a lot of people did. I just didn't. I didn't enjoy it.
Well, the thing with Cabin in the Woods and why I enjoyed that kind of tongue in cheekness is because I didn't think it was. I thought that instead of just having the characters be the stereotypes that they were and just be stereotypes, they actually gave them interesting character.
I don't really have it. There's one guy that's kind of interesting. He's played by Nick Rutherford. And he's the first one to die.
Mm-hmm.
But that's because he's a real actor.
Yeah.
So there's potentially, this film, it really was a Cabin in the Woods ripoff by web creators. And that's what it feels like. It is better than their previous movies by a lot. And just production value.
Yeah.
And scale and acting. Because they got, like, Zachary Levi has a cameo as himself in it. That's kind of funny. But you take away, because the people that go watch this movie are fans of Rooster Teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But you take away from the threat when one of the killers is like, oh, it's Adam. That's really cool to see Adam there. He's killing people. I should be afraid of him. It's like, oh, I love him. He's a really funny guy.
See, I have no horse in that race. I don't like Rooster Teeth.
Yeah, so it's not very good. I mean, it's not good at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would give it like a 2.5. That's literally just because it is an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to see their take on a horror movie. I thought it would be more horror than comedy. This is more comedy than horror, but the comedy falls flat. I think where the people in Rooster Teeth, where I like them, is they're not actors. And you put them in roles, like, one of the main actors in this is a Rooster Teeth person. And they're not actors. A cameo death, that's fine for them. But they're not actors. Don't put them in main acting roles.
But Kyle, is Rooster Teeth the best thing ever?
It's not. I mean, it's not. I mean, I can be very unbiased here. It's not a good movie. I didn't enjoy it at all.
I think it's just like my general distaste for horror comedy.
The main girl, I thought she did the best she could.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the actual actors, they did the best they could, but it wasn't the best written script. You know, I mean, it's 2018 and they call somebody a chode.
That's still...
And whoever did the subtitles, because it was late at night when I was watching it, can't fucking spell. It's no fault of them, but whoever made the DVD, they can't fucking spell. And it pissed me off. It had potential. A little bit. Just a little bit of potential to be good. In the right hands, you could make a self, like Scream. You can make a self-aware horror to where it works, but you have to have both. And this did, for me, didn't have either.
Mm-hmm.
It has to, like, Shaun of the Dead. It has to have the good horror elements while having the good comedy. And they just mesh together properly. And this didn't. It felt like I was watching something on their website. I didn't feel like I was watching a movie. So no, didn't enjoy it. Don't recommend Bloodfest.
I also watched a horror movie that's a little different because it's technically a fan film, but I loved it. It's called Never Hike Alone, and it is a Friday the 13th fan film. But the interesting part about it is that Tommy Jarvis is in it. And when I mean Tommy Jarvis is in it, I mean the actor who plays Tommy Jarvis.
Does he play Tommy Jarvis?
Plays Tommy Jarvis in this movie. And basically everybody involved in the actual Friday the 13th movies was like, fuck yeah, do this movie. It's sick. Except for the main guy, because he's a cunt that now has like the rights to it and everything.
Oh.
That whole thing? Yeah. Fucking fuck that dude. I'm sorry that you wrote the first Friday the 13th, which is mediocre in comparison to all the other ones. And you
not
that,
all the other ones.
Well.
You're going to put Jason Goes to Manhattan up there?
No.
Okay.
But it's just like.
And 2 through 6, basically?
Yeah, like because the whole thing that I don't like about that guy is that, okay, so you made a fun slasher that like harkened the age of slashers,
mm-hmm.
but you are not responsible for what the franchise is known for now.
No.
Because after 3 is when it got its stride and became so beloved.
Yeah, the hockey mask wearing Jason.
Yeah, it's not you, dude. I'm sorry. That's a tough pill to swallow. But yeah, because there's this whole legal battle where he's trying to get the rights for himself for monetary gain so that they can reboot Friday the 13th.
Again,
even though the 2009 one was great.
That one's a great. It was.
I really like it. It's one of my top Friday the 13th movies.
It was passable.
I really like it.
I mean, as far as remakes go, it was one of the better ones. It's dated.
Yeah, but that's one of my favorite Jasons.
Yeah, I'm just like saying the look. Is like, I'm saying the look of the
yeah,
film.
Yeah, the look of the film.
It's like My Bloody Valentine era.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. I really love the remake. So yeah, so they did this fan film because this guy won't stop doing... Because every time they've tried to do an actual Friday the 13th movie, it gets blocked because this guy's in this legal battle that's been going on for like 20 years that he won't let anything happen. So they're like, fuck it. We're making a fan film. Like people that are involved with like Friday the 13th movies, we're involved with this. Everybody... It's cool. Like Jason is Jason. They call him Jason. Tommy Jarvis is in it. Camp Crystal Lake is in it. All intents and purposes, it's a Friday the 13th movie. It just didn't get an actual like theater release, but it was put out on physical media. It is great. It's like a mixture of a found footage kind of with because it's all
I
about,
always wondered I would love to see a Friday the 13th found footage movie. It'd work.
Yeah, like the beginning's kind of like that, but it's not like it's not super found footage. It's a guy, he's hiking and he stumbles upon the ruins of Camp Crystal Lake and then realizes that Jason is alive and is trying to kill him.
Back from Manhattan.
Back from hell.
Space.
I'm not entirely sure on what the time period is.
How do you get back from space?
I think that, because I really don't know when this is supposed to kind of...
Did you see they're making a new Leprechaun movie?
Yeah, I did. I don't know why. But how can you get better than Leprechaun in the Hood?
I was going to say, how can you get better than Leprechaun Origins?
Oh, God. Yeah, and so the end of the movie, spoiler for this fan film, it's only 54 minutes, I think, is what the runtime is. Yeah, Tommy Jarvis is fucking there, and he's like, remember me, asshole? And then it like sets up for like a sequel. I thought it was great.
That's really cool.
It's really good. And it shows that,
I'll check it out. Usually I steer clear of fan films because they're like the heart's there, but the quality's not.
The quality is there with this one. And that's what I really liked about it is that for all intents and purposes, this is just another Friday the 13th movie.
Good deal.
So I definitely recommend it. It's free on YouTube. If you want to buy a Blu-ray copy, they did the Kickstarter for it. I don't know if you can buy like extras. I kind of been thinking about buying one because I just really like it. Friday the 13th is one of my favorite horror franchises. Super excited. Hope that they make another one.
They might.
Yeah.
If it does too well, though, then...
Then
they'll get a cease and desist.
Yeah. And, I think that's it for me. Did you see any more movies?
Yes. I saw one more. Okay. I saw Izzy Gets the Fuck Across Town.
That's right. Yep.
I kind of love this movie, Lincoln. I kind of really love this movie. And I don't know why. It's like Run Lola Run, but funny.
Okay.
Like, I just think that the dialogue is very witty. Like, I laughed at things.
Mm-hmm.
And little things. Like, basically, Izzy is just broken. She was in a band with her sister. It's ruined. All of her friends have turned on her.
Oh, by the way, 8-6 for okay. Never Have One.
The first thing you see with her is she wakes up after a one-night stand, and they're, like, trying to piece together. And it's kind of funny. You know, it's not an awkward thing. They're, like, learning people's names and whatnot. She finds out her ex is getting married on the other side of L.A. She has 5 hours. Because it's like, we're destined. It's fate. She's all about fate.
And okay. Yeah, I was about to say, why
are
you going?
We are meant to be together. Okay. I need to stop this. So it's her trying to get across town. It's like her car's broke down. She can't use it. But she makes little stops at friends and houses. So there's little interludes. Like, Haley Jo Osment's a friend that just pays her to do weird stuff. So she's trying to get money. Like, he paid her to write a breakup letter to his girlfriend. He paid her to make snickerdoodle cookies. And that was one of the things that made me laugh. And he goes, they were terrible. And she goes, did you put them in the refrigerator? And he's like, our refrigerator saves everything. And she's like, I told you not. It's just, it feels natural. A lot of the dialogue feels like it was unscripted. And it might have been. It's Mackenzie Davis is the main character.
What's she in?
I don't know.
Okay.
She's in Izzy Gets the Fuck Across Town. It's like a punk rock movie. Like, it has chapters, and they have, like, punk. It has punk music in it. When her and her sister do play again at the end, or near the end, it's a Heavens is a Betsy.
Mm-hmm.
The end is very art, or the beginning is artsy. It's like this pink hue, but it's like, it's this young girl and Izzy and this older lady. You learn later that's the different stages of her life.
Mm.
It's her inner monologue is what okay. It is. The only place it falters is at the end. She does get there, and he's like, fuck you, I'm getting married. And she breaks down. Which is like, it's ugly breakdown. Like, her stomach hurt. Like, it feels visceral and real. Mm-hmm. But then they do get back together. He shows up at her house. And he goes, I couldn't go through with it. And then they stay together for a while. I was like, okay. I don't think she needed that happy ending. But then, like, she realizes, like, it starts to fall apart. And at the end, she just walks away during a play. She just leaves. And that's like, she finds happiness there. I didn't need that.
It does sound kind of weird.
I didn't need that happy ending. Because you had it. Her sister fucking hates her.
Yeah. Right?
Like, her friends, nobody likes her because she's a deadbeat and this and that. But she's really fucking funny. But her sister hates her. And she goes to her sister's house trying to get help to get to this place. And her sister's husband's like, hey, you guys were in a band. You should play a song. Play a song for everybody because it's a Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, fuck off. And they play the Heavens Betsy song. And it's kind of like brings it back together. And her sister, like, hugs her, gives her the car to go.
Mm-hmm.
And after the breakdown, she comes back and her sister consoles her. There's your happy ending. The music brought her and her sister back together.
Yeah, why would...
I feel like it was probably I don't think it was a studio. It was a Shout Factory.
Yeah, because it's...
I could have done without the guy coming back into her life. I thought that really ruined...
The point? Sounds like it ruins the point.
Yeah, I feel like they just go like, man, her life's miserable. We need happier. But it's... For me, it's a story about a journey. And it's, yes, it's a journey, but it's her finding herself in little snippets with these people. When she goes to, his name's Walt, Haley Jo Osment. He's trying to tell this girl that's passed out that he loves her. She goes, I'll go first. You tell her while she's passed out. And she's expressing her feelings for her ex.
Mm-hmm.
That's a character moment. That's a building moment for her. Like, they have little things like that. Annie Potts is in it. She's fucking, it's Annie Potts. I love her. She has her little moments of clarity. She just doesn't see him yet. I don't think he needed her getting back together with him and then her having the moment of clarity and walking out, but I don't need him. You could have done it in a different way than he walked out on his own engagement. Like, her best friend is the one that was marrying her ex. So that was a great moment when she goes to the wedding. She's like, you took everything from me and blah, blah, blah. I liked a lot of that. I still loved this fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
I just, if I were to watch it now, when her sister's consoling her, I would turn it off. I put it up there with 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah, where there's a point where just turn off.
It doesn't ruin the movie. It's just, it takes away so much. Because, yes, this movie's very funny, and it's weird, and it's surreal. Like, her riding the fucking scooter that Annie Potts gives her. And she's in her same clothes throughout the whole thing. It's, like, stained with blood and wine from her one-night stand at her previous job. She never changes. I liked all that a lot. I just didn't like the, oh, she did get the guy. Yeah. I really could do without that. But I do recommend Izzy Gets the Fuck Across Town. Mm-hmm. If you like what I've described.
Yeah.
I mean, I say Run Lola Run because it's a person's journey across the town.
Mm-hmm.
That's Run Lola. She doesn't reset time.
Sounds
and it's
like
not in,
slacker.
And it's not in German. Yeah, like,
mm-hmm.
I liked it a lot. But yeah, the end was just meh. But I would still give it like a 8.7 because I really liked the performances. It's not for every, like, you could watch it and be like, it's fucking boring.
Yeah.
I connected with her character in a weird way. Like, I immediately was like, I feel for this person.
Yeah.
I want to follow them. I want to see where it goes. I know it's not going to end well, but I want her to get there. But I think it could have been an even great thing as if she was too late.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite movies is called Kicking and Screaming. And when he finally gets up the nerve to go see his ex in another country, the plane already left.
Mm-hmm.
And he just goes back home. And you don't know where it ended. I fucking love that. I love having my soul crushed, you know? It's not what I expected for a movie, but I really... It's one of... That, it's... I would put it above Thoroughbreds, I think. And I really like Thoroughbreds. Out of the ones I've talked about here, it's the one I enjoyed the most. If it wasn't for that end, it would be in the nines.
Yeah.
For me, easily. But yeah, love that movie.
Kyle, is that all the movies?
That's all the movies for now.
Hold on. 3 through 10. Guess what? Got one more movie.
You son of a bitch. You holding out on me?
Holding out on you.
Is it A Star Is Born?
I saw Nutcracker.
You didn't see Nutcracker.
All right, I didn't see Nutcracker.
I was waiting for you to actually be like, no, really, I did.
That's all I got.
That's it. Until Ketchup 3.
Yep.
We got more coming.
I got more.
Ketchups might go into 2019. I'm just putting that
out. Fuck it. Deal with it.
Yeah.
Don't care. Hands in the air.
We still have 20 fucking movies on our list that we want to watch. And now Suspiria didn't come here, so that's added to my fucking list.
Yeah,
God damn, I want to see Suspiria. Fuck 2018, though.
So Nutcracker.
God damn it, Lincoln.